Thanks, blessings. Zulu. Good evening, Zimbabwe. It's 17 hours 20 UTC, 7:20 p.m. in Zimbabwe on Saturday, July 23rd, 2016. You're listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Kip Stube. Here are our top stories this evening. Zimbabwe is planning to stop issuing radio licenses as the economic problems in the country continue. Young Zimbabweans cry foul over cyberbullying. And as usual, we'll focus on issues affecting women. Stay tuned. Information Minister Chris Mushowe says the government is seriously considering stopping the issuing of radio licenses until Zimbabwe's economic situation improves. Mushowe told the Parliament's Information Committee on Thursday that the operating environment is bad and radio stations are not making any profit. Reporter Ivan Chivera has the story.
Mushowe's comments came as only two of the eight commercial radio stations licensed in 2013 have managed to go on air. The other six are risking losing their licenses if they fail to start broadcasting in 2 months as required by law. The Broadcasting Services Act stipulates that any radio station licensed should start broadcasting within 8 months, failure of which the license would be withdrawn. Mushowe said indications are that some of the radio stations granted licenses by government have not yet complied with these regulations.
Ideally, we would like to see as many players as possible competing in the broadcasting sector because of the inherent benefits to the consumer. The market situation tells us a different story. Mr. Chairman, experience to date shows that only one radio station among the newly licensed stations is making a profit. The rest are in the red.
But Media Institute of Southern Africa Zimbabwe Chapter Broadcasting Programs Officer Koliwe Majamanyoni said it would be unfair for the minister to take those measures as there are many individuals and companies who are ready to start broadcasting anytime.
At the end of the day, it's not only about the sustainability of the radio stations, but in terms of the geographical allocation and, you know, just the diversity and plurality in the number of areas that would actually be broadcasting. That is not to say that sustainability is not an issue.
She said the Broadcasting Authority of Zimbabwe should have licensed companies with resources. Media Center Director Ernest Mudzengi concurred, saying it's now coming out clear that the licensing process was fraudulent and biased.
The whole licensing process was not done in a proper manner. It was a haphazard partisan process.
Even lawmakers questioned how a loss-making company like Kingston's, which is struggling to run a book-selling business, could be expected to operate two radio stations. At the same time, Mushowe said licenses for community radio stations would only be issued once the digitization process has been completed. Zimbabwe has missed the March 2016 deadline, and earlier Finance Minister Patrick Chinamasa said the digitization program was not budgeted for and government had no money to finance it. He said government expected to raise $200 million required for the program from the sale of the digital dividend spectrum to NetOne, but the deal failed after the state company failed to raise the money. Chinamasa said he was now exploring other ways of financing the project, but could not say when the funds would be available. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Ivan Chifera.
Now is time for the show Girls, Youth and Development. We have a partner, Nyaratso Mashamombe of Take a Life International, an organization that focuses on the needs of girls and youth, and Unique Zimuto of Youth Engage.
Hello, Zimbabwe. This is Chionesto Johnny on Talking Girls, Youth and Development, introducing your host, Nyaradzo Mashayamombe.
Hello, everyone. Hi, Zimbabwe. This is Nyaradzo Mashayamombe here on your favorite platform, Talking Girls, Youth and Development, with Nyaradzo Mashayamombe. Today, my guest is Unique, a young woman who's working in Zimbabwe. Unique, in a few seconds, please introduce yourself to the people of Zimbabwe.
Hello, people of Zimbabwe. My name is Unique Zimuto, and I am an advocacy officer at Youth Engage. We deal with advocating for young people living with HIV and AIDS, and we concentrate on empowering youth.
So today, our topic, if you followed a few weeks ago, we started and initiated a talk around the technology and young people, especially young women. And we looked at the good, the bad, the ugly, and the desirable. And we know that technology is critical for young women for opportunities, but as well as we know that it has become a problem as well for the young people. When I'm looking at the opportunities, I'm looking at, if a young person has access to a smartphone or a phone, she can receive messages on what's happening around the world. If it's a smartphone, better still, she can be able to learn about what's happening in Zimbabwe and everywhere through Facebook, WhatsApp, and also get opportunities even to Google to learn other things. But we also know that on the other side, many young people, especially young women, have been having a difficulty with their boyfriends maybe demanding naked photos of them, which are usually released to the world to see their naked bodies when their relationship stops. And some young women have had their boyfriends record nude pictures or videos of them without their knowledge when they're having maybe sex with their boyfriends. Unique, my question to you as young women is, what is your take on all these issues?
Thank you so much, Nyari. I think what we need to first realize is that the issue on cyberbullying wasn't as known until recently in the few 5 years that we've been moving towards. We also need to understand the fact that cyberbullying is still something that is very foreign in Zimbabwe. People don't understand what exactly is cyberbullying and if someone is being bullied.
So what is cyberbullying?
Firstly, cyberbullying is the misuse or abuse of pictures, messages, or videos using electronic devices such as cell phones and computers. And they're the most common electronic uses that are being used actually in Zimbabwe at the moment.
You, the young women, you are the ones whose photos are being split all over the internet. You are the ones with sex tapes that are being shown. What is the problem?
There is a higher percentage of the use of internet use, especially amongst young people. And we have the use of sexting or sending text messages that have explicit photos or messages or voicemails or voice notes and videos. And unfortunately, we have a higher percentage of young ladies who are actually being put under more pressure to actually indulge in sexting or indulge in sending these explicit videos and pictures. So we actually realize that the pressure is more on young ladies than the guys due to the fact that there are so many reasons, such as peer pressure, the need to feel that your boyfriend is still attracted to you.
Do you think that the young women are beginning to think about the consequences, about what this can do to their careers, to their own person, the damage after that?
I mean, yes, definitely, because what we need to realize is young women now are now realizing how exposed they become. And in all honesty, there is nothing that protects these young ladies, and therefore it is up to their own good to protect their livelihoods, because at the end of the day, this will go up to not only affecting their family relations, but in society, it's something that is very taboo. So it definitely does affect them. And now young ladies are actually realizing the impact. You get to see that within the society. I was speaking to a young girls recently, and they were saying, if my boyfriend asks me to send a picture or a video, I don't bring out my face. I'm just going to take a picture of maybe the part that he wants me to take, but not bringing out my face. So they are realizing the consequences of cyberbullying, yes.
Thank you very much, Unique. It was so great to host you, Unique, as a young woman. This platform is really to hear from young people, especially young women and young men who are working on the ground to advance the rights of girls and young women, as well as the youth in our communities who are making a change within their communities. If you want to keep chatting with me, or if you want me to have you as a guest on my show, get in touch with me, Nyari Mashayamombe. You can find me on Facebook and on Twitter at Nyari Mash, and you can keep in touch with me that way. Until we meet again next week, Zimbabweans, thank you very much.
And that was Nyaradzo Mashayamombe and her guest, Unique Zimuto, advocate officer from Youth Engage.
Thanks very much, Nyaratso Masha Mombe of Tech Alive International, an organization catering for the needs of girls and youth, and Unique Zimuto of Youth Engage. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington. We are broadcasting on 909 meter wave and on the 4930, 5940 and 15460 shortwave frequencies.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
The U.S. is providing nearly $800,000 in aid to help Mongolians mitigate the effects of the 2015-2016 winter emergency and develop systems to increase disaster preparedness. This new funding is in addition to $150,000 in humanitarian assistance provided to support logistics operations and the distribution of critical relief supplies to those affected by the winter emergency, and expands ongoing disaster preparedness training with province and county-level officials. Through the U.S. Agency for International Development's Office of Foreign Disaster Assistance, USAID/OFDA, the U.S. government partners with Mercy Corps to work with communities to recover from the impact of the winter emergency and support the long-term sustainability of herding systems across 15 winter emergency-affected provinces. The program will improve province and county-level ability to manage risks and lessen the impact of future winter emergencies through disaster risk reduction, DRR training, and the scale-up of a national SMS, or short message-based information sharing system. This system, easily accessible by mobile phone, allows herders to access weather forecast data by equipping them with the tools to make informed decisions and develop disaster preparation strategies. Since 2011, the U.S. has provided approximately $2.5 million for DRR programs in Mongolia through USAID/OFDA, including school-based disaster planning to prepare school administrators and students for disasters, as well as incident command system training to help local officials improve disaster response operations. Winter conditions in Mongolia can be exceptionally harsh and dangerous. The United States is proud to work with its partner Mongolia to help the Mongolian people meet the challenge of any winter emergency.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
And as usual, we now hand you over to Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye.
Welcome to the Women's Forum, a forum where we look at issues affecting women. I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye. Tonight, we have the pleasure of speaking to Comrade Farai, one of the female ex-combatants who's going to take us through how she sees what is currently happening in the country. Welcome to the Women's Forum, Comrade Farai.
Okay, welcome.
Oh, last week, some comrades are saying that they've had enough and they've asked for President Robert Mugabe to step down. What do you say as female war veterans?
I would say, I mean, female ex-combatants, not only being a female, but, I mean, being a woman, we are the mostly affected people, I mean, as a woman, because we are the ones who fend for, I mean, for the families, and we know all the problems that affect our households and what have you. So the women species are the ones who are mostly affected, and that's the reason why ex-combatants said, I mean, we've had enough. I think this is the time where we can just rise up and say whatever, I mean, we feel like. Because, I mean, from 1980 up to now, I mean, the president has never looked at the problems of the country, of the nation, but he's always gallivanting, going outside the country, not addressing the issues, I mean, of the country.
What are some of the issues or challenges that you have faced as a women ex-combatants that really have pushed you to the edge to say enough is enough at this particular time?
Mostly, female ex-combatants is the welfare. It doesn't only affect the female ex-combatants, but everybody in terms of addressing, I mean, issues like, I mean, the health system is collapsed. Even our education system, it's not something now to write home about. And even, I would say, almost, I mean, everything. The economy is collapsed. And the bad thing is the president
I mean, doesn't even comment. Even last week, I mean, we had a shutdown, but he never commented. He never said anything. I mean, that one day where there was a shutdown, to be honest, I mean, it had an impact, but he never commented. He didn't even want to say anything about it. Instead, I mean, he waited until, I think it was, we were building a shell suited. That's when he decided to say, oh, the Western world are the ones who are sponsoring disaster, and I mean, and the other people who are on the change agenda. I mean, which is wrong. I think it's high time now. I mean, he sees that. I mean, the rest of the nation are just fed up. They just want him to go, like yesterday.
So, are you in support of the euphoria that we're seeing at the call for change that is coming from the youth, especially people like Pastor Ivan Mawarire and Tajamuka and other citizen groups? What's your view on those?
Oh, yes. I personally, I'm fully in support of Pastor Ivan Mawarire, even Tajamuka. The good thing is the comrades, we are saying we don't want violence. And even Pastor Mawarire is also saying that we don't want violence. Whatever we have to do, we have to do it peacefully. We don't want bloodshed. We don't want violence in the country. We think of the 1970s where bloodshed was shed. But this time, we just want dialogue. We want, him to address the issues, of which personally, I don't think the president is going to address the issues. He has run short of ideas. He is being told by the people like Kasukwere, the Chinamasas, that everything is well. He's out of touch with reality. That's the problem. But I also blame him. I mean, as a leader, you have to go to the people and ask, get first-hand information. Ask what the problems are, the people are facing. Then at least, you can start from there. But he decided to be blinkered, not to be worried about the problems of the nation. I am in support of the Tajamukas and the Mawarire and whatever they're doing. I mean, it's in the positive direction. Even most of the comrades are also in support of Mawarire and the Tajamuka.
So do you see President Robert Mugabe actually heeding to this call by war veterans to say that, he has failed and must now vacate his post? Or what kind of reaction do you foresee coming out of ZANU-PF and also just President Mugabe?
He is very stubborn. He's a very stubborn man. I know he's not going to say anything between now and maybe Heroes. Maybe he will choose to address the people at the Heroes Circle and say, oh, okay, these comrades are stupid and what have you. But I think this time he has picked it up that, the comrades are the main business. And I don't think it's going to take it lightly.
Time is not on our side. Thank you very much, Comrade Farai, for having been our guest here on the Women's Forum, a forum where we look at issues affecting women.
Okay, thank you very much.
I'm Marvelous Mhlanganya Huye.
Thanks very much, Marvelous Mhlanganya Huye. We hope you are going to have a wonderful weekend. The music of Thomas Tafiranyika Mafumo coming to you from the Voice of America in Washington. Now to recap today's top stories. Zimbabwe is planning to stop issuing radio licenses as economic problems continue in the country. and young Zimbabweans cry foul over cyberbullying. That's our broadcast this evening. Now stand by for Studio 7 in Develop with Chris Gande. This is Kip Stube in Washington, D.C., wishing you a pleasant evening and a very, very good night.